Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out, where I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge of health, beauty, and wellness, as well as interview pioneers within the industry on a variety of topics. I am your host, Kimberly Snyder. I love to discuss topics that are on my mind and in my heart. So joining me in the conversation every week is my dear friend, Tony, or as I like to call him, T. Tony was my co-host on my previous podcast, and he's back to join me for these topical weekly segments. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm here with our beloved Tony. Hey T, how are you?
I'm awesome, thank you.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about our topic today, which, you know, I love when there's all these ancient practices, whether it be Ayurvedic practices or yoga or meditation, and now there's modern research showing the benefits, you know, just like how turmeric's been used in Ayurveda for thousands of years, and now they're finding all these amazing anti-inflammatory benefits, right? Or yes. Meditation has been used for millennia in, yes, you know, Buddhism and in Hinduism and yoga practices. And now they're finding, oh, wow, look at all the effects on reducing stress and like measurable, you know, favorable improvements in your blood pressure, all kinds of benefits. So that is the premise of our segment today, is to talk about chanting. Yes. And how now there's research showing that chanting can have benefits similar to some antidepressant medications.
Yes.
Which is incredible, because chanting tea has been used in so many of these, you know, spiritual cultures around the world. Mantra, chanting, the idea of using sound healing. I mean, it's, yes, ancient as can be.
Yes. It's amazing. And part of how this, like, I even got, you know, we got the idea, both of us, because we've been reading some of the David Hawkins work.
Yes.
Recently, and like books like Letting Go and some of the others. And
Power versus Force.
And
our favorite author. We, yes, talk about him all the time.
But he talks about like the calibration of the word Om is really high. I think it's like 800 or something. Mm. Just that word. Just like it's
just the vibration of Om.
Yeah. That's how powerful it is. It's like this divine, it's almost like a divine sound. And so I started to search in like research day.
Bobby.
So I came across some studies. Yeah. And like you noted, one of the studies just researched chanting of the word Om, and they found that it stimulated like what they called, the research called limbic deactivation, which is what happens in, and when research, is what happens in certain treatments for depression. So where somebody's actually like the stress and mood and the biochemicals around depression can actually be transformed from Om and just repeating the word.
For how long would you repeat it?
The time in the study wasn't long. It was like for 15 minutes a day. I'll double check, but anybody can also look.
But what if it's being played?
You need to say it.
Oh, you need to say it. Yes. So like it's coming from within your,
yeah,
body.
It's becoming from within you. And I think there's something when that, even just say it, like when you say Om, and you can actually feel.
Oh, it's so powerful.
Yeah. It's almost,
but
like
I don't know that, yeah, I've said it 15 minutes in a row.
Yeah. That is
I mean, I chant it in my own practice, and we say it at the end of, you know, yoga,
but
three times.
Yes. But you're talking about, remember, like we're talking about like as a replacement for, they're studying as a replacement for depression. I think most people can get a lot of the benefits from doing it for like a minute or two.
Yeah, or right? just incorporating it into part of your daily practice of life.
Exactly.
It is, you know, that primordial sound.
Yes.
Dr. Jay talks about in Ayurveda, it's like he has this whole explanation of each, you know, A-U-M is sort of the traditional way that they spell it, not O-M.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it's like the, we have to have Dr. J explain. It's like the opening and then like the fullness and like the coming out, like the whole, like the beginning. There's like no end, no beginning. It's like this full spectrum. It's so powerful when we step into that.
Yes.
Because it's like stepping out of time, and it's like stepping out of like just this dimension and acknowledging that we're part of this bigger whole. And so there's something really amazing about it.
Yeah.
So it actually has an effect on our brain.
It has an effect on our brain. And I think though, to where I think it's another just a useful tip that is kind of like a side note here, is that he's so cute.
Bobby.
He's so cute. Is that like, you know, a lot of times we're talking about this earlier, like a lot of times we might have an experience sometimes where we get flustered or we encounter like a negative person or we have difficult, we go through traffic and it's stressful, right?
Sure.
Our energy or like our vibration, whatever word you want to use, kind of feels like it's lower. It
takes a dip.
It takes a dip, right?
It's so natural. We all feel that.
We all do. And so one of the really cool things is like, you could be in your car, you could be in your home, whatever, and you just do it, take 30 seconds or a minute.
Just chant Om.
And you chant Om. Like you can literally like reset your energy that way and kind of feel like you've kind of cleansed a little bit of whatever you took on.
Oh, I love that. Doing it in the car.
Yeah. So like imagine instead of like getting angry in traffic or just like being stressed out from driving and then just immediately going to the house or to your meeting or wherever you're going, like to just reset it a little bit. Use that. So I think it's really useful in that regard.
So I wonder, you know, this is sort of a separate topic, but, you know, the chanting, like the high vibration, there was research done some years ago about sort of the low vibration effects of listening to like super hardcore heavy metal.
Sure.
Do you remember
yes,
that to your like hardcore rap?
Yes.
And, you know, we're all about freedom of expression. And of course, like,
yes.
You know, whatever music, you know, one wants to listen to, it's great. And we're all for creating all different types of music. But and Hawkins talks about this as well in one of the books, like just be cognizant of how music makes you feel after you listen to it, because
yes.
Everything does have that vibration.
Yeah. And as we grow and as we like awaken more, we open more and we clarify our diet, we become more sensitive to everything, right? So we become more spongy of energies and of things, right? So it's like, if there's, we don't even realize it sometimes, if there's a music where there's like lyrics that are like the vibrational energy or calibration is really low, you might be unconsciously like...
It's like going in.
Yeah, going in. Exactly. So you're right. I think parallel to the... It's not really a side topic or a side note, because it's really like parallel to, you know, using something like Om to cleanse and to kind of uplift us. Like, it's just as important. It's just like with food, right? Having good nutrients and detoxing is really important, but it's also important to not take in toxins.
Exactly. Exactly. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
It really does. So besides Om tea, which we know is like this pure, high, you know, the primordial vibration, there's so many chants that I love. You know, you listen to Kirtan, I love,
yes.
And Jayutal and Krishna Das and all the, you know, the Om Namah Shivaya, like,
yes.
You know, the some of the like very simple chants, like you just say over and over again, you feel amazing when you like sing along. And there's just like such a high vibration with that as well.
Yeah. And I think it's so true. And you really feel, especially if you do it in such a way that you can feel it like in your chest, in your body as you're vocalizing it, it's really powerful. And I think this is something like personal to me, but I think we've talked about it before, is like sometimes too, especially as we're making changes, we struggle with really expressing ourselves and vocalizing our truth. It's an amazing way to open up like that throat, like your throat, kind of like your ability to, it's clarifying on, it can clarify blocks and expression as well. I think.
That's amazing. I love that too, because it's true. Like sometimes we're not always authentic, or sometimes we have like guilt or shame about expressing ourselves fully, or we feel shy.
Yes.
And so chanting is a way to clear out blocked energy.
Yes, exactly.
That's wonderful.
And so if you have trouble like speaking up, whether it's about your diet or a friend, like,
yeah.
I know there's been so many times where I've like agreed to do things I didn't really want to do because I wasn't able to express.
To voice it.
Exactly. And I think we've all been in that position.
It's a terrible feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I should have said something, or why did I get roped into that? Or I agreed to do this, but then you're kind of begrudgingly going along with it, or like a little resentment builds up.
Yes.
Versus just saying something.
Exactly. Speaking the truth. And so it's an amazing way to clarify that kind of pathway of just being able to speak freely and truthfully.
Wow.
So another last thing, I think the last benefit to a major benefit, like in some of the research that you see in the show notes, is kind of not just depression, but actual brain performance. So some of the research was really around our ability to like pay attention and to focus, which ADD kind of like symptoms and attention deficit and things are a huge issue nowadays.
Yes.
And to know that
focus.
Also mantra chanting, whether it be Om or another one that you pick, is a really, really powerful way to kind of sharpen your brain and your mind and improve.
But why is that, T? Because it's It's just stimulating different parts of your brain.
Yeah, but I think it's also, it's training kind of like our present moment, our ability, like our, there's parts of the brain that are especially activated when we are like fully in the present moment. And by being mindful and chanting, it really puts us in the present moment. And, like,
wow.
Our bodies in a way that's difficult to replicate elsewhere. And so by training our like present moment kind of awareness and ability, just like we would in meditation. But it's even more, I think, for a lot of people, chanting and doing all like this can be more powerful than meditation because it's like we're moving it through our body into our and our voice.
Isn't there a term? Is the term japa?
I think so.
I don't want to like say something that isn't incorrect, but there's whole forms of practice that are just mantra chant based. I remember being in Varanasi, India, and there was just, you know, not that they were specifically Hare Krishnas, but sort of, you know, like different yogis along those lines where all day long they're chanting in joy and, you know, Hare Krishna, 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 like the whole chant. It's so beautiful and there's so much joy coming through. And that's how they're moving the energy and elevating is through the vibration. Like everything is vibration. So there's so much vibration in song and chant. And it's nice to see that there's research backing this up. It's so natural. I mean, I sing all day now. Bobby, I literally have a million songs I've made up. And that's a form of chanting too, isn't
it? Totally. Yeah, exactly. It is. It is. And so, yeah, I think this is just kind of, it brings everything full circle. And I think it's, like you said, it's amazing that research is finally catching up to some of these things that I think ancients have known for thousands of years across all these traditions, whether it be in India or Zen or anything. Like chanting is a major Gregorian chants and like Christian traditions. Like it's chanting exists across all of these ancient religions, and it does so for a reason. It's clarifying.
Amazing chants you hear in Muslim culture as well.
Yes.
Like when I've been to oh my gosh, I'm just gonna blank, but you know, parts of Turkey when I was traveling and Morocco and also northern India.
Yes.
Which, tell me the name to you. I'm blanking.
No, it's not.
Like where Srinagar is.
Above Delhi, right? You're talking about like also
like
the
all
Himalayas.
The way to the north.
Rishikesh and like.
No, like way above.
Way above. Oh, wow.
Wait, I gotta look this up because it's gonna bug me. But anyways, what I was gonna say is that when you hear the chanting, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Kashmir.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you.
Oh my gosh, thanks.
I spent some time in Kashmir and it was amazing and magical and you know, really wonderful. You can feel in the soul. So, you know, to our point, whatever tradition, whatever spiritual tradition or just, you know, expression comes forth, it's, you know, it's authentic and you're feeling that wonderful vibration, then it's beneficial.
Amazing.
Yeah. And also in the Jewish traditions as well, because when I first moved to LA, I lived in a Hasidic neighborhood. And our neighbors were amazing. They were like really open. And I would talk to them a lot about their practices and they would bring people over and they would sing and they would stomp their feet. And they had all these like amazing songs as well. So I feel, you know, really fortunate that I've been able to firsthand experience a lot of different chanting in different cultures. And it's wonderful.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. It's exactly.
I want to bring more of it into my life now, too. I'm going to be more cognizant of, because I know I feel great when I go to kirtan and, you know, I sing all the time anyway, but I love to be around other people doing chants as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found like when I've commuted from like LA and Orange, because my family's in Orange County or things like, I'll be like, all right, well, I've got 45 minutes. I can listen to some music or some podcast or, And that's amazing too. It's just different times, but like there's times where I've just used this time where I'm going to chant for 15 minutes while I'm here in the car.
Do you really?
Yeah,
see,
I do.
That's amazing.
I home or something, and then I always feel amazing like wherever I end up. It's like I.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to do that now.
And then the car is not stressful.
Well, sometimes I've been using the car a lot for mindfulness time where I don't put on the radio. Sometimes I don't talk on the phone. Like sometimes I'm just like it's like the. little pockets of time where I can be quiet during the day and not around anyone else or not communicating with anyone else. So sometimes I do that too.
Amazing.
But I'm also going to think about chanting.
Awesome.
So thank you so much, Dee. This is a really cool topic. Hope you guys loved it as well. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out the show notes. We'll have some information for you guys. And we will be right back after the break. If you've ever wanted to do yoga each day, but didn't have the time, you're in luck. Because my team and I spent extensive time shooting all the ways I personally practice yoga at home and packaged it into one easy-to-use system. This DVD program is filled with videos, step-by-step guides, audios, and more, all designed to support your yoga journey like never before. Find out more at shop.kimberlysnyder.com. Hey, beauties, and welcome back for a very special interview I have for you today. I have the amazing Satya Scannetti, who is the CEO and founder of Satya Jewelry. She's an amazing, empowered female entrepreneur. She's also a philanthropist and a yoga teacher, and she lives in New York. Satya, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me. Very excited.
I have loved your jewelry line for years and years and years. I remember being in New York and walking through the Village and then walking through the Time Warner Center and just seeing your jewelry all around. It's beautiful. It's yoga inspired. All of us have this amazing unlimited potential for creativity. But can you tell us a little bit, Satya, how you were able to take your passion for jewelry making and yoga and create this, you know, huge jewelry, this huge global brand? It's really inspiring.
Sure. It's an interesting story, and I think people kind of need to tap into their own power. And I think we all have that little self-doubt and that little dialogue that tells us, oh no, it's not the time, or you can't do it.
Or that field's really crowded. There's so many people trying to do jewelry.
Oh, especially, back then I didn't have as many competitions, but now it's been, but there is space and there is time. And I think the most important thing is to really tap into that almost fearless self that we have inside ours. And that's where yoga and meditation comes in. I mean, I'm sure you feel that when you, after your good practice of yoga, you're just like, all right, hand it over.
Exactly.
Yeah, and after my 30 days, my first teacher training in Hatha yoga, in Shivananda yoga, 35 days of just doing nothing but powerful yoga and breath work, they had given me the name Satya. And I had an incredible dream that night that I was going to design jewelry of all truths and donate money to children around the world. So I think one of it is I opened up that intuitive channel from all the yoga and pranayama. And the message came so clear. And then the cool part was I was fearless. I mean, I came back. I quit a six-figure job. I started the company with $10,000 in my little studio apartment in the West Village.
So you not knowing what or how. Satya, you just said, here's my dream. And you just started doing it.
Started doing it. And, there wasn't no business plan. There was no, I had nothing. I was like, I just had a passion. I had a really great idea. It was right after 9/11. So there was this like kind of intensity around the city and just that whole idea of just wanting to bridge this gap between all truths. And one of my first gurus says, the paths are many, but the truth is one. The satya is one. So if we could all just honor each other wherever we are, however we find our higher self, then God bless us, right? I feel over and over again that I'm so blessed to been able to, just birth this business and touch so many people with it. And the foundation part of it. So there's a 501c that we started probably 2 years into the company. And we get to donate children money to children. I work with a lot of orphanages over in India. And I get to see the kids every year. And they're just so awesome and grateful. And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, Satya, you know, you started in your home, you started with, you know, some self-funding, and you started with authentic passion. And then as it started to grow and you had to grow your team, did you feel like you were working with intuition, just attracting the right people to help you? Or how did you sort of manage the business side of, you know, managing people, basically?
Yeah. And, you know, this is like no background in business or jewelry. So it goes back,
really?
You know, I believe in the whole,
wow.
I believe in the whole reincarnation thing, and that,
yes.
You know, I've done this in many other lifetimes. So much of it came so natural, but at the same time, you know, I had to figure a lot of it out, very intuitively. You know, the business came, the ideas came, the design themselves came. I just hired a sample maker to help me start just mm-hmm. making what I was downloading in my meditations at times, or
wow.
on my long runs along the West Side Highway in the mornings. But you know what? I think, you know, the right people came, some wrong people came. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the thing. You know, I think one of the most challenging parts of owning a business is attracting the right people and knowing when they're the right people or the wrong people. And I don't know if you've ever experienced.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know,
I've had some wrong people too.
Yeah. And I think one of my biggest lessons, because I work almost too much from my heart, is to be a lot more discerning. And I think if anybody's contemplating starting a business, I totally inspire you and say, go for it. But that big word of discerning, you know, be very mindful of your energy and who you bring into your dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important they're in line and they believe in what you're doing and they see your vision with you.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice, Satya. But it's wonderful that you've kept that authenticity from your original inspiration to now. You're able to grow this foundation. And I'm excited. We'll just mention a little bit of a tease. You know, Satya and I are creating a really exciting partnership that's going to launch this fall. And I have to say that, you know, in our interactions, Satya, have been so harmonious and loving and all about win-win, and we want everybody to feel great. And it's so refreshing that that's the way that business could be all the time.
Yeah.
Especially well, like us women are running everything.
Oh, life would be a lot sweeter. But you know, we also need, as women, and I'm going to scream it out to whoever's listening, is we need to be strong. You know,
yes.
We need to find the fearlessness within us, and we need to speak up. It's all about finding your own voice in what your truth is. And you know, in the past, a lot of, you know, business women are a little, you know, not as honored or, you know,
mm-hmm.
not as put up front. And I think this is our time as, and I don't know how many men are listening, but you know, I want men to help support us because we've supported them for so long, and we need to work together and just, you know, make the changes needed in the world, you know?
It's so true, Satya. Like this message, I feel like is really coming forward. I also just did a video with Maria Shriver, who used to do this big women's conference. She had all these people involved, like Oprah and Hillary Clinton. And she said she stopped doing the women's conference because she has two sons. And she, you know, I have a son. I know, Satya, you have two sons. And she was like, I felt like I couldn't include my sons. So yes, it's about women, but it's about all of us coming together. And, you know, that oneness that we talk about in yoga, that wholeness, and really supporting each other. And I love how you say, Satya, you know, there's room for everyone and there's time and we can all be successful. And we don't have to be, you know, catty or competitive with other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, people always ask me, well, Satya, I'm starting a jewelry company. What are you giving? I'm like, oh, no, not another one. But at the same time, like, you know,
yeah.
just find your unique, what's going to stand apart from everybody else doing it. You just need to, you know, claim your space. You know, what is it that you're, if it's a jewelry line or it's a book, you know, make sure it's your authentic voice. And I think that's, you know, when you really feel good about it, like, hey, this was something I dreamed of, and this is something that is a part of me and I believe in. There's
so
a lot of copycats out there, but.
Yeah, there are a lot of copycats.
And they're,
you know,
not as, I mean, I can't feel as, it can't feel as empowering when you do that. So.
No, and in the end, like, you know, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. because I feel like it always equals out. You know what I mean? Like if you're not coming for creativity, it's like, okay, it works itself out without having to put much energy into it. If you know what I mean?
No, I think anybody who's contemplating to start any kind of business, it's just getting really quiet and tapping into what it is that makes your idea authentic. I mean, there's so much going, so many businesses in every single area right now. The population is increasing. There's so many entrepreneurs, thanks to Shark Tank.
Yeah.
we're all out there. Like, what can I do? And we have such opportunity here in this country, like no other place in the world, to cultivate and to create a business of our own. So what is it, that authentic part? And the other part of just business, and I always encourage this, is always do a give back. The universe supports you when you have that pure intention, when you say, hey, if I can have success here, I would like to serve others with it.
And, yes.
And make that a complete circle.
I agree. And then Satya, you know, when you talk about overcoming self-doubt and, you know, authenticity, did that come about when you started, you know, when you went to India, when you did your yoga training, was that instrumental in, you know, just overcoming it? And to this day, when that doubt creeps back in, that's something you fall back on?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, we're human. So, I mean, I struggle with it all the time, you know?
Yeah, we all do.
Mm-hmm. We all do. And I would hate, you know, I would never want to mislead anybody that, oh, I got it figured out. I never tell myself.
No, nobody does.
I always call that my internal dialogue that I really don't want to listen to most of the time, or I shouldn't.
The ego.
Yeah, the ego. It's like, shut up. That's not coming out now. And I have to fight it. And sometimes I physically like scream, no, I'm not going to think that today. I need to be positive. I need to think, you know, like positive thoughts and be super optimistic and, you know, shed the light. And, you know, being a mom, I'm sure you can relate to this too, Kimberly, for our children, ourselves, like we need to keep hopeful. We need to have that optimistic side of us that we can make anything happen. We can do anything and then share that with our children.
Yes. Being that rock and setting that example and embodying that is so important. And, you know, I was thinking about how with Bubby now, he's a year old and, you know, we don't let him have any screen time and I don't really watch TV anyway, but if there's like, you know, a screen in a store or something, I'll kind of shield them. But then I'm on my phone a lot. You know, I work from home and he's always around me. And I think, what example am I setting if he just always sees me on my phone? You know what I mean? So I just try to like put it down for periods, so I'm not saying something that's in opposition to what I'm not living in a way that's in opposition to what I'm telling him. So that authenticity, I think being a parent really holds you to that of really living, walking the walk, you know?
Yeah, and it's a fine line, too. I had this wonderful Swami said that, you know, this woman asked one time to him during a Mother's Day event, how do you be a good mother? And he said, so simply, be an example. But at the same time, you're an entrepreneur, you're a working mom, and you do it from home. So, you know, it's one thing if you were sitting there playing the games and getting absorbed in stuff that is taking you away from
being exactly.
You know, your authentic self. But, you know, you got to feel okay. Like, this is the tool that keeps me going. And it's a phone. And yeah, it's connected to a Wi-Fi. But this is where we live right now. This is the world.
It's true.
Yeah, so we can't beat ourselves up too much for that. And I think our kids are going to respect us and honor us no matter
and
what.
And it's a balance too. You know, like you said, they watch us. So he does see me reading a lot. And it's so cute. Like I read to him, I read the baby books, but he sees me reading actual hard copies. And he keeps taking the book out of my hand and like pretending he's reading. And I'm like, yes, that's the example I want you to see.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so great.
Yeah, I love that you really are living the message that you put out into the world, Satya. You talk about finding truth, and your jewelry line is, you know, really multicultural. You have symbols and imagery from all different parts of the world. How do you stay inspired and creative? Because I feel like you're always coming out with new lines, and like every year, is that from travel or is it just all from your meditation?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm so conditioned to turn everything I see into jewelry, so the ideas are always flowing. But I do at least one trip to India every year, and it's I go see the children. There's a few orphanages up in Rishikesh that I get to go see the kids, and I do a lot of yoga, and I hang out with all the great saints up there for a good 10 days, and then I go down to Jaipur, where we have one of our factories. So it's very, that's a very inspiring culture for me.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Me too. Oh my God. The palaces.
Have you taken the boys?
What's that?
Have the boys come with you to India?
You know, not yet. How old are they? My one boy. They're just turned 9 on Monday.
Oh, they're little. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my guys to, one of them is going, I go to Summer Solstice, the Kundalini big tantric yoga thing in New Mexico. So I'm going to bring one this year because they need a little alone time. Twins are funny. You have to, this point they need to see. So I'm going to, they've been exposed to a lot of it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
We have a meditation practice together. So we all sit in the morning and do our gratitude prayers. They're not allowed to.
Love that.
Get it. Yeah. But yeah, they see their mama living it as much as I can anyway.
It's so wonderful that, you know, seeing a strong woman, seeing a strong mother doing it, you know, that's what we said. That's what we were talking about, where it's, you know, it's women and men coming together and supporting each other and seeing that positive example. It's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't ever want people to think, oh, you know, it's easy. I mean, I have so many challenging moments with running a business and being a mom. And one of my little guys has a couple little special needs that I have to, you know, attend to. And so it's a lot to juggle. And people are like, how do you do it all? I'm like, you know, it takes a village. And you need to ask for help. And sometimes I know a lot of women, friends of mine, we have a hard time asking for help.
Yeah.
So I always encourage, you know, don't be afraid to ask and surround yourself with a really good support system. Even when if you're an entrepreneur, if you are also a mom on top of it and a wife and all those many hats that we wear now, you know, just make sure you have some good friends around you that you can lean on.
And also have that time to step away and be by yourself sometimes and have that time for inner reflection and cultivation, whether it's a yoga practice or meditation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And, you know, you can get, I mean, when my boys were born, twins, and they were preemie, they came 7 weeks early. I wasn't ready. And it was a couple years where, like, I thought, oh, I'm going to get right back into my practice the way I used to do it. And it's not, it's 9 years later and my practice is still there, but it's so different than it used to be. And
yeah.
I think I've had to just accept and embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're 9, I'm feeling, okay, I can start adding on, but you know, just, I think, you know, the guilt thing that we carry is mostly women carry so much guilt, is
so much guilt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think we should, we really all need to collectively help each other work on that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't serve anything. It doesn't make anything better. And it's just you know, like Dr. David Hawkins, who kind of, he calibrated different energies and he talks about how guilt is one of the lowest vibration energies. And it resonates. It affects our whole being. Yeah. Guilt and shame. He said were two of the lowest ones. So
yeah.
It just identify letting it go and embracing the light and the goodness, you know?
Yes. Especially now, we need to really elevate our vibration more than ever right now in the world. I feel the world is counting on us. Yogi, entrepreneur, powerful women.
It's amazing. So in New York, Satya, do you practice at home? Do you have a self practice or do you go out to studios?
Yeah. I do. I have an altar at home and I sit almost every day. And even if it's for 5 minutes, I'll do 5 minutes. If it's just lighting a candle and just saying, I'm here.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all I get. And then I always roll my yoga mat out every morning. And the boys know mommy has to do a few downward dogs before
I love it.
Can start doing anything else. So
that's amazing. I love that practice. And I love that the boys see that. That's amazing.
Oh, totally. They, you know, and I teach yoga to one of my boys' schools. They're in different schools. I get to teach 31 third graders right now. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's super cool. On Monday mornings, I get all the kids kind of back into the classroom after the weekend. And my son teaches with me. Yeah, he's my assistant. And he says, no, Mom, you're my assistant. I'm like, okay, fine.
Hilarious. Well, Satya, thank you so much for being with us. You are so inspiring. I love the work that you're doing, the authenticity you're putting out, the giving back to the children in India and the orphanages and everything. And the fact that you've been able to create your own business that you own that is giving back and that's so successful and abundant and lucrative. I mean, it's just wonderful, just a wonderful role model example to so many of us. So thank you so much.
Back to you, my beautiful sister, soul sister. I mean, what you do, and I've been reading all of your emails you sent, and they're just so inspiring. And
I
honor you in so many ways. So back to you.
Thank you. I'm so excited for everyone to check out our future partnership. Satya and I are putting our hearts and souls into now, and we'll share that with you guys in the fall. But now there are so many amazing creations on Satya's website. We're going to link to it in the show notes. Satya, can you spell out your website for everybody too?
SatyaJewelry.com. So SatyaJew. ELRY.com.
Perfect. So, and we'll link to it as well. I've been wearing Satya jewelry, as I said, since I moved to New York. And it's weird. Like, then we came together, Satya. Then you know, you were at the book launch for Radical Beauty.
Oh, so great.
And it's, you know, sometimes there's just energies that come together and you feel the connection and the rightness of that. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I'm so excited.
Thank you again.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. Okay, beauties, it's time for our tip of the week. Grow a new herb you've never tried before. Now that summer is almost here, it's a perfect time to bring some life into your home. Fresh herbs like mint are easy to grow and are the perfect addition to any homemade dish. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.